Well, the scripture today is shared with Janet and me, and it's a story, a well-loved story of a woman who comes to a well. And there is conversation. Jesus is at the well. His disciples have gone into Walmart to buy lunch. He's thirsty and tired. He and this woman begin a conversation. It's the longest recorded conversation in the New Testament that Jesus has. So what do you think? Well, this must be a very important story. So Janet will begin. We'll see that Jesus meets this woman. They begin a conversation. And then I'll sort of give an overview of what happens in the in-between, and then the end of the reading of the woman in the well. So listen for the word of God.
Okay, excuse me, John 4:5-18. In Samaria, he came to a town named Sychar, which was not far from the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by the trip, sat down by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw some water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink of water." His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The woman answered, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan, so how can you ask me for a drink? Jews will not use the same cup and bowls that Samaritans use." Jesus answered, "If you only knew what God gives and who it is that is asking you for a drink, you would ask him, and he would give you life-giving water." "Sir," the woman said, "you don't have a bucket, and the well is deep. Where will you get that living, life-giving water? It was our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well. He and his children and his flocks all drank from it. You don't claim to be greater than Jacob, do you?" Jesus answered, "Those who drink this water will get thirsty again. But those who drink the water that I will give them will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring which will provide them with life-giving water and give them eternal life." "Sir," the woman said, "give me that water. Then I will never be thirsty again, nor will I have to come here to draw water." "Go and call your husband," Jesus told her, "and come back." "I don't have a husband," she answered. Jesus replied, "You are right when you say you don't have a husband. You have been married to 5 men, and the man you live with now is not really your husband. You have told the truth."
And now the woman and Jesus enter into a conversation about true worship, genuine worship, how it happens, and where it happens. At the end of that, the disciples who've been in town for food come back and are amazed. Jesus is talking to this woman. She then leaves her jar and she goes into the town, because she has realized and Jesus has revealed to her that he is the Messiah. And she's got to go tell everybody. And so she runs into the town. While she's gone, Jesus and the disciples have another different conversation about discipleship. And then the story ends with the people coming out of the town to see this one they've heard about from the woman. And the story ends.
So John 4:39-42, many of the Samaritans in that town believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they begged him to stay with them, and Jesus stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his message, and they told the woman, "We believe now, not because of what you said, but because we ourselves have heard him, and we know that he really is the Savior of the world." This is a reading of the Word.
Amen. And thanks be to God. And so as Paul writes to a church in Corinth, If anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. And another translation puts it this way. When anyone is in Christ, it is a whole new world. Let us pray. Oh God, in this new world that you have given us in Christ, there is living, fresh, life-giving, sparkling water that makes us new. As the woman at the well said, give me that water. So today we ask, give all of us that water. Amen. Well, Jesus is in Jerusalem, Judea. And it's time for him and the disciples to go home, back up to Galilee. Now, a good Jew would make this trip from south to north. Some of you need a GPS, but you wouldn't understand south to north. Some of you probably can't get from here to Butler without a GPS, right? So they're going from south to north, from Judea, Jerusalem, to Galilee in the north. And a good Jew would cross the Jordan River and head up on the east side of the Jordan River, on the west side of the Jordan River, up to Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is where the Jordan River begins. They would take the long way from Jerusalem to Galilee. Why is that? Well, between Judea and Jerusalem in the south and Galilee in the north, the straight route would take you right smack dab through Samaria. And good Jews did not do that. They didn't want their feet even to touch the soil of Samaria. Jews hated Samaritans. You've heard about the Good Samaritan? Well, for these people, there were no good Samaritans. Only if they were invisible or gone or out of sight, they would be a good Samaritan. Jews hated Samaritans, and Samaritans hated Jews. I could go into all the reasons, but that's immaterial. This is how our world works. Our world revolves around tremendous hatreds. It's in families. It's in churches. It's in communities. It's in the world at large. We are our world because, and we act the way we do because of immense hatreds for one another. So when Jesus decides to go the straight route, straight, the closest way, right through the middle of Samaria, he was walking into hate. The side glances of the people and villages were not glances of welcome, compassion, or love or acceptance. They looked upon these Jews with hatred. And around noon, they come to a place, a well, together, Jesus and the disciples. And the scripture, the story says that Jesus was tired out. He was spent. It was noon. And they had been walking in that heat, that sun, that it's not like the sun here in Pittsburgh. It's like the sun in El Paso. El Paso, Texas. Do you ever get tired of cloudy days in Pittsburgh? Well, move to El Paso, Texas. You will be happy as a clam. They have 300 days of sunshine every year. And that's the kind of sky you get here. Clear blue, not a cloud in the sky. And that sun beating down upon these who walk from Jerusalem to Galilee. And Jesus was spent. He sits down and the disciples go into the village. The village name is Sychar. They go into the village looking for a Walmart to get some lunch, to bring back some food so they can replenish their energy for the journey that's still ahead. And while Jesus is at the well, here's a woman alone. She has an empty jug on her head. She's come for water. Why is she alone? That's not when women come to a well for water. They come in the morning when it's still cool, and the well is a place of socializing. It's where, you know, they gossip and they talk about, did you hear what that stupid husband of mine did last night? You know, oh, can I tell you about my grandchildren? They are the most wonderful and so brilliant, you know, all that kind of talk. Women talking about their lives, their children, their grandchildren, gossip, socializing. She doesn't come with them. In fact, she is the one they talk about. Have you heard? She's had five husbands. She can't keep a man. And the scumbag that she's now shacked up with, he's the worst of the lot. All of this kind of talk. So she is not with them. She is not good enough for them. And so she comes to the well by herself. And as Jesus sees her coming, he speaks. Now, men don't talk to women in public often. They're very reluctant to talk to a woman in public. In fact, if you have a man and his wife together, the husband will be very reluctant even to talk to his own wife. So now we have this astonishing thing. The English have a word for astonishment. You don't hear it very much on this side of the pond. It's called gobsmacked. She was gobsmacked. A Jewish man speaking to her. This is unheard of. Please, he says, give me a drink of water. And of course, all she can think of to say is, you, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan woman, for water. This does not happen. And of course, what is happening here, what we have happening here, is that hatred between people leads to exclusion. She was the excluded one. Hatred has to have some place to go. And it is called projection. I don't know if you ever heard that word. It operates this way. Each of us has what is called a shadow. You have a shadow. I have a shadow. The shadow is not our enemy. The shadow is that part of us that tells us, if we let it, if we listen to it, tells us what other people see in us that we can't see in ourselves. The shadow is that part of us that is cruel, mean, vicious, selfish. It's that part of us that we don't want other people to see. So we cover up the shadow. We don't let people see into this part of us because this is the unacceptable part. And if we cannot deal with our own shadow, if we cannot accept the fullness of all of these things inside of us that are unacceptable, unless we bring these to God and to prayer and to struggle with that, and to let that inform us, the shadow, you see, becomes our friend. Our shadow reveals to us the parts of us that need to be healed. The shadow makes it impossible for any of us ever to look down upon another human being and to set ourselves up as better than. For the shadow informs us that in God's eyes and also hopefully in ours, there's no human being that's better than another. There is no one who can be excluded as inferior, as not good as we. The women who lived in Sychar, they would come to the well and they would gossip about the woman who has five husbands and now living with a man who's not her husband. And they would project all of the meanness and cruelty that's in them onto someone who is safe. And therefore, there is exclusion. Rather than to look into the mirror. See, this is the other part of exclusion and projection. There's a two-way street here. It's a two-way street. When we project our meanness and our ugliness onto somebody else, there's a mirror there that reflects that meanness back to us. So we become what we hate. We become what we exclude. When we hate, the hate always is mirrored back to us. We become like them. That's why Martin Luther King said, and you need to put this into your memory bank, hate, he said, is too great a burden to bear. It's too much. We can't handle that. Hate will kill us. Hate is godless. Hate makes us exclude someone who needs to be in our lives as teacher. For all of our enemies All of the people that we exclude are there to teach us, to inform us, to show us who we are. So Jesus looks at this woman and begins speaking to her. And all the exclusion of the world is overcome. Sister, he says. He didn't look down on her. He looked at her and said, you're like everybody else. We all are like everybody else. We all carry within us equality of brokenness and need of living water. Give me that living water, she said. When Jesus offered to her, saying, here's a well, here's water, we need this water, but I have water that will well up into eternal life. Sweet water, living water. And she said, give me that water. About 200 miles from here is a place called Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania. You may recognize the name as the place where 20 years ago, a man by the name of Charlie Roberts, a young, married, had family, man by the name of Charlie Roberts, took 10 little Amish girls into a schoolhouse. He was an angry man. Part of the anger in his life was he had had an infant child who lost. His infant child died, and he became angry at God for taking his child. And that anger, that hatred had to go somewhere. And because he wasn't able to handle that in a way that was open to living water, he decided somebody else has got to hurt. This pain inside me is so great, somebody else has got to hurt as badly as I hurt. And so he took 10 little girls into a schoolroom, Amish children, ages 6 to 13. He shot and killed 6 of these little girls before turning the gun onto himself. But miracles began to happen. If a person is in Christ, it's a whole new world. And we began to see how this different world operates. On the day of Charlie's funeral, it was a private funeral, only a few people were there. And then the family made its way to the cemetery, and there, forming a semicircle at the cemetery, were 40 Amish men who were there to bring prayer and comfort to the family of the man who killed their children. Anyone who is in Christ, it's a whole new world, living water. After the service was over, Charlie's father completely broke into pieces. And an Amish farmer came and took him in his arms as this father, so broken, wept for one solid hour. That was just the beginning of many miracles in Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania, and those miracles are still happening. Charlie's mother's name was Terry, realized that one of these little girls who was shot didn't die, but was permanently brain damaged. She was unable to talk much. She was in a wheelchair. She would never walk again. She had feeding tubes coming in and out of her body. Terry Roberts began going to the home of Rosanna, this girl, 6 years old. She would read her books. And she would bathe her. And she would wash and dry her hair. Anyone who is in Christ, it's a whole new world. In Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania, living waters. Living waters that say, we will not let love be defeated here. We will do whatever we need to do because in this new world, love wins. Love always wins. And we will do whatever is necessary so that hate and exclusion cannot win here. Living waters. The story of the woman in the well has an interesting ending. She leaves her jar. Jesus has told her, you know, I'm the one. You think a Messiah someday is going to come and explain all this to you. I am the one. She leaves her jar. She goes into the village, and there before all of the people who have scorned her, all of the people who have rejected her, all of the people who have shamed her, all of the people have called her a harlot and much more than that. Before them and to them, she is the evangelist. Come and see. Come and see. And the good part of the story is they did. They came. And they saw. And many believed. And guess what happened then? They say to Jesus and his disciples, don't leave us yet. Stay with us just a little while longer. And Jesus stayed 2 more days. Can you see that? Jesus and the disciples and the Samaritans sitting around a common table, eating together. Jews and Samaritans who hate each other, eating together. Living waters flowing. Jews and Samaritans laughing, joking, eating, celebrating life and togetherness and living waters. Hate and exclusion has given away to love. And I can just see the 12 disciples playing games with the children of Samaria as together they experience what it means to have living water and what it means to live in a whole new world, a world that you and I are invited to this very day. Let us pray. Oh God, thank you for new life. Thank you for living water. Thank you for new beginnings. Call us to this new world. Out of our hates and fears into life. As we follow Jesus. Amen.